Good morning. Hopefully my voice will hold out through the morning. I began coughing and sneezing yesterday, and for some reason my family scooted away from me and have stayed away from me most of the time. And I encourage everyone else, I don't want anyone today to feel offended that I have not shaken your hand or anything. My parents taught me to share, but there are certain things that you keep to yourself, and I'm trying to keep this one to myself as well. So please don't be offended that I haven't talked to anyone too much or shaken any hands like I normally do. Brother Ed began a big task last Sunday evening. I appreciate him for having the desire to tackle the task of talking about marriage, divorce, remarriage, and it is something that needs to be discussed. As I mentioned Wednesday evening, it's something that I did a class over at the house for the young adults as we were looking at the subject of marriage. You know, we need to look at the subject of divorce and remarriage, and I taught a class over there, and then during Bible class here, we've studied it as well, but it has been several years, and it's good to study and to look at this, because even as we begin looking at the subject of dealing with evangelism, this is something we're going to come across, because how many of you have a divorce somewhere in your family? You know, we usually don't have to go very far in our family to have a divorce in our family. You know, it affects every family there is. And it affects every congregation in one way or another. There's a lot of things that we'll be looking at this morning and how it affects us and how it affects the congregation. And so we need to know how to deal with this situation. We need to know what the Scriptures teach on this situation. And we always want to go to God's Word for everything that we do. If you turn over to Psalm 19... Turn over to the 19th Psalm. This is one that we're rather familiar with, I'm sure. We sing Psalm 19 oftentimes in our singings. In Psalm 19, they're beginning in verse 7. The psalmist writes for us here, David records, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." When we approach any subject, we need to make sure that we're looking to the Scriptures for the answers. There's a lot of different places we can go to find answers from God's Word, from the various questions we might have. But we need to make sure that we're always going to the Word of God for direction. It is that which will give us proper direction. It is that will give us the wisdom that we need to obtain eternal life. There's great reward in turning to the Word of God. So I want to begin this morning. We're going to kind of just lay out some things because it is a rather in-depth study. It's a big study. It's something that we need to look at. In all honesty, I think marriage, divorce, remarriage is probably one of the easiest things. When you just go and look at what the Scriptures have to teach and just let it speak, you've got a simple answer for the situation. But when we look at the world today and the church today and how difficult they've made the situation, we do need to make sure that we have an answer for every question that arises. And I'll tell you in the beginning, the answer that I've had for some people in their situations is, I don't have an answer, remain single. You'll be safe. You know, and that's where we have to, if we're not sure of the answer to a particular situation, take the safe course. Don't risk your soul for anything. And we need to have that attitude in our life to accept the Word of God in all things. And it will take care of all the objections, all the problems that might arise. Now, there are objections sometimes to having a study of this particular subject. I appreciate the elders. When they began their eldership here, they gave me a list of sermons that they would like to receive. And this was in that list of sermons. And so it was in the docket for us to look at before we moved in December. Some objections, people will say, well, it's too complicated. The subject is too confusing. It's too difficult. The average person can't understand it. They have that same attitude towards the book of Revelation. And as we've pointed out multiple times, in the book of Revelation, it's not difficult if you just accept it for what it is. It's telling of the victory of Christ. And we can see a very simple answer to these questions if we'll just look to what the Word of God has to say. Others say there's a lot of controversy about divorce and remarriage, and it will never be settled no matter how much we study. There will always be a difference. There will always be a difference of opinion. When you go to various parts of the country, you'll find that certain doctrines on marriage, divorce, and remarriage are more prevalent than other particular areas. For example, in the Northwest, you find more of Homer Haley's teaching of the alien sinner is not accountable to God's law on marriage, and you'll find that very prevalent amongst churches out in the Northwest. And that's why there's a need for more that are willing to go out and to teach the truth. And honestly, when you look at that, and we'll look at it in a little bit more detail in later lessons, but how can the alien sinner not be accountable to God's law on marriage? If he's not accountable to God's law on marriage, then he's not accountable to God's law on anything. And if he's not accountable to God's law on anything, let's leave him alone. He's okay. Let's just let him go and live his life, and he's not accountable to God's law. We know that that can't be true. But there are those, there's a lot of controversy and differences of opinion. Others say that this is a subject that is for preachers to debate about, that preachers need to get together and debate this and to come to a conclusion. And I say, no. There's an answer in God's Word for every question that we have. We just have to be ready and willing to accept that answer. Others say, well, I'm too old to need the subject. Our marriage is going well, and we're not going to be facing divorce, so I don't need to know about it. And others say, well, I'm too young. I'm not even thinking about getting married. Why do I need to study these things? Why do I need to understand the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage? Some things that we need to think about that we might have a proper attitude in approaching this study of marriage, divorce, and remarriage is that we need to have the confidence that if we are willing to work honestly and diligently, if we are willing to put forth the proper effort to study and to learn what God wants us to know about His Word, that we can come to a proper conclusion on any question. We need to learn to be careful not to take a cynical attitude toward any biblical subject of such obvious importance and to think that it's unnecessary for us to study about it. The older we are, we need to be able to teach the younger the proper understanding of the Word of God on this subject. And the younger need to have a good understanding of God's teaching on marriage and on divorce and on remarriage so that they will make proper decisions in their life and understand very clearly the importance of choosing who you're going to marry. Because if you choose wisely, and if you approach the subject of marriage with a Christian attitude, divorce is not going to happen. And so we need to be teaching the young so that they will approach this properly. But why is a study of marriage, divorce, and remarriage so important in the world that we live in today? Well, first and foremost, we see in the world, we see just complete and total disregard for what God teaches about marriage, for what God teaches about divorce. Then we see just a total disregard of the idea of permanence of marriage. What was it? Kim Kardashian and some sports figure. Chris Humphries. This shows my knowledge of sports and unfortunately my knowledge of the newspapers that are out there. But they're married for what, 70-something days? Made like $17 million off the wedding? Does anybody think she's just pushing her reality show and her bank account? Getting married and getting divorced. Britney Spears was married for just a very brief period of time. Elizabeth Taylor was married, I can't even remember how many times. 6, 7 times? You find throughout the world today, marriage is something, well, we'll give it a shot. We'll try it. If it didn't work, we can always get a divorce. That's the attitude of the world that we're living in today. There are destructive forces at work against the family. The attitudes of this world are trying to tear our families apart. trying to get us to not focus so much on family and focus more on our work, on our career, on our having fun. It's our right to have fun. And who is our spouse to say that we can or cannot do something that we need to devote a certain amount of time to them? I was pleased as I was looking into this lesson and studying over some things to see that the divorce rate was actually starting to go down. It's beginning a small decrease statistically, but I can't help but think that perhaps the reason there's a decrease in the divorce rate is because there's a decrease in the marriage rate. Why bother getting married? It doesn't work. We don't need a piece of paper saying that we're married. We love each other, and we'll just live together. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, who cares? There's also a disappearance of the social stigma against divorce. You go back 30, 40 years, and for someone to be divorced, it was a horrible thing. It was something that was frowned upon by the world, but you don't find that at all anymore. In fact, it is oftentimes glorified. And we can see that these things have had impacts on the local church. They've had impacts on the teaching and the practice of members of the church. Each of these things have hurt us. Amongst the church, there is a lack of commitment in marriage. In fact, when you look at the statistics for divorce, the statistics for divorce in the church is just as high, right at 50%, as it is in the world. And so the attitude towards marriage in the Lord's church is no different in many respects than the attitude of the world. You have more and more dysfunctional and troubled marriages that are taking place within the church. You have more and more unscriptural divorces that are taking place in the church because of the attitude of the world of it's just a divorce, it's not that big of a deal, you tried. You gave it the good old college try, and therefore just go ahead and divorce and go find your happiness. Go find your bliss. Who cares about the command that God gave you to love your husband and for you husbands to love your wives or to love your happiness? You deserve to be happy. And I'm not going to deny that you deserve to be happy, but you chose that person to be happy with. And you promised God you would be happy with that person. And so the subject of marriage does not need to be taken lightly, but it is. And again, even amongst the church, there is less stigma against divorce. When you look at this, and one of the reasons that the need for a study on marriage, divorce, and remarriage is so important is when you look at the prevalence of false teaching that there is available. Honestly, if you want to find a viewpoint, whatever your situation might be, if you want to get a divorce, I guarantee you, you can find a preacher somewhere that will give you his scriptural reasons for you to get a divorce. We had a young lady where I used to preach that had just decided she didn't want to be with her husband anymore. And mean husband that he was, he wouldn't cheat on her. And so she wanted to get a divorce. And she, knowing the teachings of the Word of God, knew she did not have a scriptural right to divorce and be able to remarry. And she began sending letters out to preachers, just any preacher she could find. She sent a letter. She even sent me a letter under a pseudonym, thinking, well, maybe I can get a different answer if he doesn't know me. Well, the answer is God's Word. And when you look at the prevalence of false teaching, it is very wide out there. The idea, and I'm right with Brother Ed on this whole mental divorce business. I don't get it because they don't get it. They can't explain their point of view on it because it's complete and total nonsense. The idea of the alien sinner not being accountable to God's law in marriage, divorce, remarriage. And so they can go out before they obey the gospel, they can go out and they can marry and they can divorce and they can remarry and they can divorce and they can remarry and they can divorce and they can remarry and they can divorce. And then they obey the gospel and all of a sudden their marriage that they're in right now, that's the one that counts. It's ridiculous, but it's out there. It was taught by Homer Haley. It's been taught by many since then. Others go so far as to teach that, you know, you can't get divorced for any reason. And then some teach you can be divorced for any reason. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, there beginning in verse 2, The Apostle Paul charged Timothy in the presence of God and Jesus Christ. He said, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Paul told Titus later in Titus 1, there beginning in verse 9, to hold fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. Paul left Timothy behind in Ephesus so that he could instruct them to teach, to not follow those that teach strange doctrines, to not pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation, but to focus on the Word of God. Another reason we need to study this, and it's so important, is because of widespread ignorance of scriptural teaching among brethren. You find this on more and more subjects that, you know, it used to be known about the Lord's church that they were walking Bibles. That used to be the attitude. If you had a question about the Bible, well, go ask that guy down there. He goes to the Church of Christ and they know their Bible. But that's not the way that it is anymore. We turn so much attention to the preacher and we always go to him for questions, or we go to the elders instead of turning to our Bibles and studying to show ourselves approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, one that can accurately handle the Word of God. We aren't focused on it. And so when you talk to a lot of members of the Lord's church about marriage, divorce, remarriage, they can't even begin to tell you some of the passages that teach on marriage. I know it's in Matthew somewhere. Jesus said something about marriage and divorce. That's the answer we oftentimes get. The number of brethren who feel that separation is okay as long as there's no divorce. That, well, you don't have to get a divorce. Just go and live separately and you'll remain married. And, you know, as Brother Ed pointed out there in his lesson Sunday evening, and I want to make this point real quick. There, as he was discussing that with separation, there is one reason that the Apostle Paul gave for separation. That was so that the husband and the wife can devote themselves to prayer. And the intention is to quickly come back together. It's not that they're separating because they don't like each other. It's not that they're separating because they can't get along and they need to live separately. They're separating so they can focus their lives on God and then get back together before Satan gets the advantage. That's what Paul is presenting there. Others believe that divorce is fine as long as there's no remarriage. That you're not committing a sin in separating the bond of marriage. These are just some indications of how out of touch we are. Others teach it more as, well, this is Church of Christ doctrine. This is what the Church of Christ teaches on this. Do you realize what you're saying when you're doing that? You're saying, it's not my understanding from God's Word, but it's what the Church teaches where I attend. And there's great danger in that. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, Hosea records the Word of God that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because of a lack of understanding on this and other subjects, we find ourselves getting further and further away from true teaching, and allowing ourselves to fall prey to false teaching. And ignorance, while might be blissful in some things, ignorance of God's Word is not bliss, because we will be judged by the Word. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica saying that the Lord is going to return in flaming fire, bringing vengeance on them who do not know God, those who are ignorant, and those who do not obey Him. So ignorance is not bliss. We need to know, we need to understand. Also, when you understand the nature of the problem, think about it for just a moment. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, we read that the serpent was more crafty than any other beast. We oftentimes picture the fox. You look at fables, the fox is a sly one. He's the one that's always able to get things to his advantage. But the Bible presents the serpent as being even more crafty. And in that, it's presenting the devil. Can you think of something that touches the heart more than a marriage? Something that can affect a family and a church more than marriage, divorce, and remarriage? If the devil were to try to think of the very worst possible problem for the Lord's people in our age and time, he would be hard put to come up with something better, something that packs a more powerful punch in more different ways than this one. Why do most people get a divorce? It's an emotional thing. I just want little Sally to be happy. She deserves happiness in her life. I hate that she's made such a poor choice. Why would God bind her in such a poor choice for the rest of her life? The way that she's treated is horrible. You see, it plucks on the heartstrings. It affects, as we noticed, it affects every single family. There's not a family present here today that hasn't been affected in some way with the subject of marriage and divorce. It's widespread. It's complex. Some of the marriage problems people can get themselves tied up in are hard to untangle. And even in my own family, we go to gatherings and oftentimes I'm like, whose wife is that? Because that's not the one I met before. I'm not sure. How many times, what was the situation? Some of the errors that are taught on divorce and remarriage are hard to unravel. Brother Ed mentioned, and I agree wholeheartedly, mental divorce is a hard one to figure out because it makes no sense. It makes no logical sense, and I think that's part of the reasoning behind it. If you can get people confused enough, well, he must know what he's talking about because he says he understands this, and I sure don't, so he must have it all figured out. Politicians have made careers out of doublespeak. And unfortunately, preachers have made careers, and elders have made careers out of double talking through the Word of God and trying to get their particular thoughts confusing enough. It's controversial. For those of you who may not know, Homer Haley was a very highly esteemed teacher at Florida College back in the, 70s? That bastion of Christianity, that stronghold for the truth of God's Word that so many hold so high in reverence. The whole time he was teaching there, he believed that the Alien Center was not accountable to God's law on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. He didn't teach it, but he held that. He sometimes began to teach it privately. And then, when he was exposed for the error in refusing to recant it and holding fast to it, he was left to go off and worked with institutional congregations, is my understanding, for the rest of his life. Even to the very end of his age, he continued to hold this opinion. Brother Homer Haley is a very intelligent individual. Some of the greatest commentaries written on Old Testament prophets come from the pen of this man. He wrote, I've got several books that are now packed in boxes that hold a lot of very good truth in them. And many followed him because he was such an intelligent individual. Even though he was off, caused division. It's difficult in regard to fellowship. What do we do when there's reason to suspect that someone in the local congregation is involved in an unscriptural marriage? Well, I like them. They're my friends. I've come to know them. Some questions are arising. Well, let's just not ask. Let's just leave it alone. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to destroy anybody's family. What do we do when we do not know whether someone who wishes to place membership is scripturally married? What do we do when members of a local congregation disagree about fundamental aspects on the subject of divorce and the remarriage question? Do we use preachers for gospel meetings that we know teach false doctrine or that we disagree with on the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage? A question I came across back in 2003 was, can I work in an eldership, under an eldership, that has an elder that held Homer Haley's teaching that the alien sinner is not accountable to marriage, divorce, remarriage. This was a very difficult decision for me. This was a congregation of over 270. As far as financial support for my family, I would never find an equal. They had great plans in wanting to pay for me to go to school and to further my education in Greek and Hebrew, and it would have been a great and amazing opportunity for me to work with this congregation. And this elder, he didn't teach on it. That was their point of view. I had never prayed or studied or rethought a decision in my life more than that one. It changed the course of my family in a way financially for the worse, because I ended up going with a congregation and living in an area where $60,000 a year in salary is like making $15,000 a year in salary here in West Virginia. And whereas I looked at, I'm making $55,000, I could barely stay afloat. Whereas I could have moved and financially been secure. But I had to make the decision I thought was best for me spiritually and what I could and could not do as a preacher. You see, marriage, divorce, or remarriage affects each and every one of us in so many different ways. It's difficult in regard to evangelism. And before I go too much further, if you would this afternoon, just pray my voice gets stronger before this evening. I would appreciate it. I'm going to try and be quiet. My wife is going to love that. But when we look at this, it's difficult in evangelism. One of my very good friends in high school, Bill Woodall, converted his good friend from high school. Sat down and studied with him. Here they were, 9th, 10th grade. They studied together. He obeyed the gospel. Very intelligent young man. I loved Jamie a lot. He was a very smart man. He was very zealous. He just threw himself into his understanding of the Word of God. He studied with Dad. He studied with others. He studied on his own. He would deliver short talks that would make older men wish they could have that kind of understanding from the Word of God. And then he began studying on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And through his understanding of the Word of God, he realized his mother and father had no right to be together, scripturally. That they were unscripturally married. And he had a very difficult decision to make. I'm sad to say, he made the wrong one. He decided to leave the Lord's church and to go and join himself with a denomination that would allow their divorce to stand, their remarriage to stand. Well, that's a difficult situation. How do you go to your mom and dad and say, look, the scriptures say, no matter how much you love each other, you shouldn't be together. That in your current situation, it's not right. How can you expect a 14, 15-year-old guy to be able to do that? It's a difficult situation. What do we do when someone we are studying with who wants to be baptized and we know that they're an unscriptural marriage and they're not going to make any changes? Brother Matt Allen, who held our gospel meeting for us, hit this very situation. He began studying with a couple. It became very clear during their studies that they were unscripturally married. But he continued studying with them, trying to get them to have a desire to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and to do the things that were necessary. And they expressed desire to be baptized. And so he explained to them, to be baptized, you have to repent of your sins. And part of repentance is not just acknowledging, but turning away from those sins. And they refused to turn away from the sinful marriage that they were in. This is one of the few times in his life as a preacher, he had to say, I can't baptize you. If you're not willing to repent, baptism is nothing. That's a difficult thing. How do we approach that subject? How do we deal with it? It's emotionally sensitive. It's not a problem that many people can discuss calmly and reasonably, because my sister is caught up in this. And I don't want her to be unhappy. I don't want her to have to leave her husband. Now, for those of you who don't know, my sister is not married at all, has never been married. I'm using some people don't understand. Some people think me and Anna have a lot more problems than we do because I use a particular situation and it doesn't affect us at all. But I want this situation to be okay. And we become irrational because our heart is so deeply involved in it. We're dealing with a problem that has the makings of a disaster for the Lord's people in our day. And there's a desperate need for preventive maintenance. There's a desperate need for us to make sure that we are standing firmly on God's Word. One of the things that I've tried to do in my 5.5 years here working with this church is to get each and every one of us, this is something I dealt with in my own life, and I think we all desperately need to get rid of the traditions and the doctrines. Forget everything you've been told and focus on what God's Word has to say. Set the emotional aspect aside. Prepare yourself for a true understanding of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 said, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." And many are standing in Church of Christ doctrine that has no kind of basis whatsoever in the Word of God. Many are standing in Church of Christ doctrine that is based on a false understanding of what the Word of God has to say. And so we need to study God's Word. Let God's Word provide the definitions. Let God's Word provide the parameters for our study. We need to set aside all personal wants or desires and surrender ourselves to the Word of God. And Lord willing, that's what we're going to look at this evening, the standard that we need to use in studying God's Word. We're going to look at a long list of things that we should not use. Things that are used by our brethren, things that they point to and say, this is what goes on here, and here's something that we need to think about. We need to make sure that in all things we're using the proper standard in our study of God's Word. We're about to sing number 326, Trust and Obey. It's a simple song, is it not? A simple message. Trust God and obey Him. Trust God, and no matter how difficult the situation, whether it be marriage, divorce, remarriage, or some other incident in your life that you've messed up, if you trust God and if you obey Him, it's going to be okay. You can make it through any situation. As we talked last week, God is faithful. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. Perhaps you're here this morning and you have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then today is your opportunity to confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to repent of your sins. That means fully turn away from them and surrender yourself to God's will and to be in the likeness of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection by being baptized. Being immersed in the watery grave of baptism is the culmination that your faith in God is going to put you over the top. That you believe that God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to wash you clean. If you need to obey the gospel, then today is the day of salvation. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel at some point in time in your life, but you've allowed yourself to slip back into the grip of sin. You've allowed Satan once again to gain control, or you've allowed the world to change your viewpoint on God's Word, and you've separated yourself from the truth of God's Word, and you've surrendered yourself to the lie of the devil. It may be on one of any many things, not just marriage, divorce, remarriage. Why won't you refocus your life and surrender yourself again to God? Submit yourself to His will. Whatever your situation might be, if it's sin in your life that needs to be repented of as a child of God, go to God in prayer and He'll forgive you. Just as we studied there in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah knew if we repent, if we turn to You again, You will turn again to us. And the Lord is waiting for you. Whatever your situation, make it right now as we stand and as we sing.